I would imagine, too, it's important for patients and their families to have an understanding of the risks and limitations of some of these life-saving treatments as they make these decisions of what they'd want and don't want.
Absolutely. For every medical intervention, there's a downside. And one of the facts is that, except for emergencies, we always get your informed consent for all sorts of procedures, saying, well, this is the good thing that we think will work and it'll happen, but here are the downsides, here are the risks, here are the things that can happen. When these life-sustaining medical treatments come up, we tend to say, oh, it's time for an endotracheal tube. It's time for a breathing tube. It's time for a feeding tube. It's time for dialysis. It's time for this next thing. And we don't say, oh, by the way, there are burdens and complications with this. If you have a breathing tube in, after a while, it's going to start eroding your trachea, so we will have to change it to something known as an ET tracheostomy, a tracheostomy. That if you have a feeding tube in, that pneumonia is a side effect, and if you're pulling out that tube, we're going to have to tie your arms down because we don't want you to pull out that tube. There are these complications that you know, you should know about, and oh, by the way, if you no longer want them, or your loved ones or your agent tells us that you no longer would want it under circumstances, or if it's no longer working, we're going to go ahead and stop it. So there's the other part of informed consent, which is to say, you know, what happens if it doesn't work? What happens if I no longer want it? We don't have those conversations. We tend to just keep on doing, and that's actually something that I think the medical profession has to take responsibility for. We need informed consent not only for surgery, but also for all of these life-prolonging medical treatments. Lots of times everyone goes, oh, of course, we're going to do that. But the long-term effects of many of these technologies are significant. If you need a feeding tube, other than for a few specific problems like a cancer of the throat that this is actually circumventing, but if you just need a feeding tube, it actually is a high marker. 60% of people who get their feeding tube will die in the first year from a number, either the underlying disease or complications. And so, you know, that is something that it's good for people to understand what the downside is and also what the prognosis is. That's another thing that doctors aren't great at. Back in the day, we were really good at diagnosing and we were really good at prognosing, telling you how the disease would go. We weren't that good at treatment because without antibiotics, without a lot of the interventions that we have now, we basically were able to sit with the sick and let, you know what was happening and to comfort them. Now we're really good at diagnosis and we're really good at treatment. We tend to shy away from prognosis. In some cases, we know it. In other cases, we don't want to take away hope. So we go, well, you know, like here's the next thing that we can do where we can try. We don't always say, oh, and the likelihood that this is going to work is, you know, 5 to 10%, because we don't want to take away hope. And, you know, we also think we need to provide everything possible. But patients value the truth, and patients also value, you know, knowing when to go forward and knowing not. There's a lot of people at the end of life who will say, and they'll actually say this, I've had enough. And when they find out with their loved one or family members that the doctor knew that this was, you know, most likely was not going to work, far more likely than not was going to work, sometimes they're a little unhappy to find out that we went through all of this. Instead, we should have taken the route of palliative care and made this as good as possible. In fact, there is a study that shows that patients with metastatic non-small cell lung cancer live longer if they have palliative care than if they have chemotherapy. And you may say, well, that's how could that happen? The reason why is because chemotherapy, quite frankly, are fine-tuned poisons trying to kill the cells that are trying to kill you. And they have significant side effects. And quality of life may not be as good. You know, plenty of nausea, vomiting, hair loss, lots of things that people know about. And that takes a toll on you, even as we're trying to kill the cancer. Whereas patients who have chosen palliative care no longer are fighting this, and there's an attempt to attention to their symptoms. And in that case, they actually live longer. Now, there'll need to be more studies that support that, but it's an amazing finding because it shows that caring can prolong life in a way that going full bore, you know, in a cancer that's ultimately going to win, cannot.